Yeah. Perfect Plex Radio. We about to go live on him. Mike Knox. That's with three X's because he's hardcore. Are y'all ready? I go by the name Fred Knox. We about to give y'all something special. You ready?
Welcome back, everybody, to Around the Blocks with Mike Knox and Chris Platt Wrestling Show. And today, we give you the Backlash review. It's simple as this. The greatest match of all time meets the greatest review of all time. Like Charlotte Flair, goddammit. We are here and we are live this Monday morning and simply talking about it. Yes, it's what has to be talked about in the wrestling community, Chris. That is the greatest match of all time. Not really, because it's not Charlotte Flair. But we had that last night at Backlash. Again, guys, my name is Mike Knox. You can find me by my namesake. I am loud. I speak loud. And fellas, frankly, if you're not making it get loud, that's your damn fault. And my man, Chris Platt with two T's. Not three. I'm trying to have him change it, but, you know, I can't do anything about it. What's going on, Chris?
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Greetings and salutations, Mike. I'm happy to be here as we review or we give our Backlash from Backlash. You see what I did there?
I got that. The Backlash from Backlash. But I would think not that many lashings are going to be handed out this week about this pay-per-view. Now, I do have my quarrels. I do have my issues. But I think overall, this is a very good pay-per-view. I'm going to get that started right here, right now. Yes, it has some drag-out moments. But we're in the pandemic era of professional wrestling, Chris.
This was a damn good show. And Mike, one of the things that I keep replaying in my mind is, how would this show have come across if there was an actual audience? Because, you know, an audience can kill a wrestling show quicker than COVID-19. So I wonder if it would have been the same reaction, or we would have had the same, if it would have been the same show had there been a live studio audience.
Well, the world may never know. Like, how many licks did it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Okay? And we're here for the smoke. Good morning to you as well. And you can find this podcast where you can get all the smoke, wherever podcasts are sold. You see it right there at the bottom of the screen. You know where we are. You're there. We're there. And so we're going to continue to be there. And this show is sponsored to you by 1340 AM Fox Sports, Hopewell, Virginia, and also thechairshot.com. Hashtag, use your head. People, speaking of head, oh, not that kind. That's for a different show. But the head of this show and what happened in this show is a lot of things to talk about, Chris, to keep it completely honest with you. And not just today, we're going to talk about Backlash. We're going to dive into this Paul Heyman situation. What's going on with Raw? Why he's gone? We're going to talk about your favorite, not the greatest of all time, not the best of all time, but your favorite top 10 wrestlers of all time. And damn it, now that I'm thinking about it, she might have to get put on that list. I might have a redo and add Charlotte Flair to the list. But we're going to start off with Backlash because, like you said, the Backlash from Backlash is here. So, Chris, what happened on this show, man? Because I tell you right now, can we just start off with what we need to start off with? And that is the greatest wrestling match of all time? Not really.
Let's start right there. No, let's start there.
That's good.
Let's start there. No, not really. Now, was it the greatest wrestling match of all time? No, it wasn't. Was it the best match I've seen this year? Most definitely. These guys went out, they put on a hell of a match. This is Orton's magnum opus, as far as I'm concerned. This is his Jay-Z blueprint. Like, this is his, yeah. Because as great of a wrestler as Randy Orton is, we all know that he's great. He's never had that great match. It's kind of like how Alicia Keys is a great songwriter, but she never wrote a great song. You don't think he's a great wrestler?
No, I think he's had some good matches. I think he's had a couple great matches. I'm sorry. You got the floor though, but I wouldn't say that about Orton. I think Orton's one of the greatest of all time inside the Spurs.
Yeah, but I don't think he's ever had that great. He's never had that Undertaker's Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 25. He's never had that Rock Hogan. Okay. He's never had the Steamboat Savage. He's never had the Steamboat Flair. He's never had that match.
Did that happen last night?
That happened last night. Yes, this is his one. Okay. So on the top of his resume is going to be this match right here. I think they're going to be talking about this for years to come, just like those other matches that I named.
So him and Seth at WrestleMania wasn't a classic?
It was a classic.
Because it wasn't a rivalry?
Classic match.
Are you saying it wasn't a rivalry classic? Is that what you mean when you say, like, classic matches? Because Orton has some classic matches. So you mean rivalry classic? I would still, you know, have to think about it a little bit more. But I would, you know, I'm hearing what you're saying and what you're putting down. And I'm gonna roll it up and smoke it as well, because I mean, to come to my mind right now, last night was that match. But it's a rivalry classic. I'm thinking you. I'm trying to help you know lay the foundation for you, brother.
No, not at all, because you said it yourself. You'd have to think about some Orton matches. When I name somebody, like if I name Stone Cold, you're going to say WrestleMania 17 versus The Rock. Like just off the top of your head,
you.
If I name Kurt Angle, you're going to say he who shall not be named at the Royal Rumble, or Shawn Mike at WrestleMania.
You can name about 10 of them.
Yeah.
I get you. I get the point there. I let you continue, because I want you to go. I like where you're going. I want to hear what you're going with this one.
No, this was just a fantastic match. And I know people are probably going to downgrade it a little bit, because the rumor is that they worked a couple of matches and then they went back and cleaned up some of the spots. But goddamn it, if you can do it, why not do it? It's the reason why they edit movies and films and stuff like that. So why not?
The WWE Cinematic Universe is what you got again.
It was a classic wrestling match. Like, they literally started out wrestling. And it built. And for those that don't know, you know, for the younger listeners, that's how most matches used to go back in Mike and I's day. They would start out wrestling, and then it would just break down into a brawl, and then they would build to that crescendo, get you on the high, and then they bring it home. That's how it went.
Are you saying you're as old as me? Wow. I feel.
Oh, honored. No, I'm not saying that. No, I just said we're in the vicinity. No.
Well, first of all, I will concur with the solid yes chant I did in the background when you were speaking, respectively so, but everybody knew what the yes chant was representing. And that was the best match I've seen all year. And I had to put this in perspective, because the Stadium Stampede match was amazing. And you have to take every match for what it is, and I believe you have to also break down matches for what they are. So for the spectacle of a match, yes, the Stadium Stampede was the greatest thing I've ever seen. But to the purest eyes of wrestling having in the squared circle, and mainly squarely around the ring of the squared circle, this was the best match I've seen all year. And it started off being the best match we were going to see because of the production by the WWE, first of all and foremost, to have the goosebumps come down these arms when I heard Howard Finkel's voice, may he rest in peace.
Yes.
Introduce these two gentlemen. Why I wore the shirt this morning. I switched my wardrobe like I was a woman going on a date this morning. I did. And I said I had to go with the Ultimate Warrior shirt because, to me, one of the greatest matches of all time is WrestleMania 6, him and Hogan. And I know people don't like the how they advertise greatest wrestling match of all time. New York, what's the dude? What's the idiot JD from New York on YouTube? I don't give a fuck if you got 40,000 fucking viewers, because you're a dickhead and they're dickheads for listening to you. Excuse me, mama, for my French, okay? Because you wouldn't know what a good wrestling match if it smacks you in the face. Because you have to be an intelligent wrestling fan, which this is the show for the intelligent wrestling fan, okay? And that is to understand what wrestling is. And this is no way a jab at anybody who didn't like the moniker greatest wrestling match. I get that. What you like is what you like also, okay? Let's get that understood. But to understand what this was being built for, the rivalry in which they've had, the subsequently, I know that's not a word, but, you know, after it's all said and done, Edge getting hurt from this match. We haven't spoke about that yet, okay? And where this match was from the first time, it being the last man standing match, and it's happening in the ring, and them giving homage to Kurt Angle, to The Rock, to Triple H, to Eddie Guerrero, pulling off other moves in this match. The ringmanship, the outside the ring. I said, are we going to get blood? I don't know if it was accidentally or a cut or not. I saw blood. Okay? And I tell you one thing. Yes, the crowd noise is quite annoying at some points, but it was amazing to still hear it. And I thought, hell, you should have brought that in for WrestleMania. So kudos again to them. Was it the greatest wrestling match of all time? Oh, hell no. But when I put it up there, when I can have to consider the circumstances of this match, suspending my belief, because yeah, I heard the rumors it was recorded. Show me the proof it was recorded. I'm sorry. Because I watched all night long, and I studied around the ring all night long. And if I'm wrong, hey, excuse me, I am 45 years old. I do need some glasses like DMC. He the one got the Adidas on. You get me. Okay, but here's the situation and how it needs to be pulled and how it needs to be pulled back into your eyelids. This match was incredible. This match was between two Hall of Famers, future one or current, of the best of the last 20 years. I'm sorry. kudos. This match had everything in it, including bringing back the punt that we haven't, the kick to the head we haven't seen since, what, 2013? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
I apologize, but this was very similar to the Firefly Funhouse in that it rewarded your viewership as a wrestling fan because there was so many callbacks and you brought a lot of them up and homages paid to certain wrestlers, to certain things that these guys had done in the past. Now, as far as it being recorded, yeah, I can see a couple spots. And you know, if you went back and watched it, you'll see a couple spots too. As a content creator, you can tell when something's been edited.
Okay. You know what I mean? I don't want to suspend my belief, damn it.
Okay
because this one didn't look, because it didn't come off like other cinematic universe matches. Okay, we're gonna talk about it later. The Street Poppers and the Viking Raider stuff. Okay, it wasn't like that. So for me, it wasn't the ladder match, it wasn't the NXT match, it wasn't Ciampa and Gargano. You know what I'm saying? So matches have been taped on TV for years and been edited. So I'm not going to pick a hole at this one for that being that way. That's all I'm saying.
Oh no, that I wasn't trying to say that at all.
Of course not.
Not whatsoever.
Of course not.
And the whole, fair enough. And and the whole, you know, greatest wrestling match of all time moniker, they were clearly trolling. They were trolling guys like JD from New York, guys like Dave Meltzer. They were trolling those guys. And the fact that they didn't even pick up on the troll is what makes it even more phenomenal.
Yeah.
But these guys went out there and they busted their asses. Shout out to Edge, as you spoke about previously. He did, coming out this match, there's reports that he had a torn tricep.
Nothing confirmed, but that's the reports.
Yeah, which that's kind of a steroid
injury.
Hey, I'm not saying.
Listen, there's a different kind of steroid you can take in this world. My mother took steroids to live, okay, because she was a cancer survivor, and she had, you know, so there's different kinds of steroids. There's anabolic steroids, and there's actually steroids to help someone of a certain age, you know, like I believe what's the Nugenix has some form of a steroid in it. It's just a legal steroid. Now, I'm saying this is an illegal one that he shoots in his ass or his arse, wherever the country you come from, but, you know, either way, sorry for Edge.
Yeah, my aunt may be the same way. So I look at steroids a lot different than people because I grew up with family, you did. With
not
family
the kind of in my locker room when I was a kid. And all I heard was one thing in high school, all right, when certain people were taking steroids. All I know is I heard it'd make my penis shrivel up.
Shrivel up, yep.
That's all I needed to hear. I didn't care. Listen, I didn't care. I'm not losing my Johnson, and in this case, my Knox, for nobody. All right? I tell my wife all the time, if I get paralyzed and I can't use my Knox, let me go. Let me go. But back to the wrestling show.
And I mean, that being said, I mean, A-Rod made half a Billy taking steroids, and that would explain why Edge's 46-year-old abs look the way they do. So party on, Wayne, party on, golfer. I'm not the moral police. Do what you do. But yeah, these guys went out here and they put on a hell of a match. Now, was it the greatest wrestling match of all time? Of course not. But they damn sure tried their hardest to make it be that, didn't they?
Absolutely did. And that's where you have to give this match credit. And you look at a pay-per-view for always say, yeah, you have to judge the totality of a pay-per-view. But what your lasting memory of a pay-per-view is supposed to be what always tips over the top, okay? Anti-WWE guys, are you want to? You cannot shit on this match. What happened also on the card?
All right, so we'll reverse engineer this thing. We'll talk about the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders.
That's what led into the pay-per-view before the main event, right? Okay.
Yes.
The question we were asking, were they ninjas on ninjas? Because that had been the coolest thing, right?
Pop.
Like, if they were, that's what we're asking ourselves, okay? Shout out to my man, Fulio Jones, on the Xbox, all right? Were they ninjas on ninjas? Because that had been the cool. I had mixed feelings. The party seemed to like it. I honestly sat there and I didn't care, if that makes any sense. Was it entertaining? Yes. And that's where I leave it. You know, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm sorry. I look at this and I go, from a wrestling perspective, as we got out of the greatest wrestling match of all time, right, moniker, and we see this shows you the how wrestling is the transparency in wrestling, right? Because on one end you have that's been in wrestling for years, you know what I'm saying? Just not advertising a match, and I love the fact that the referee said, "Hey, what are you guys doing? You got a match to do," and it never even showed the match, so that wasn't even the match that we were supposed to get, which makes up for it if you think about it and being the intelligent wrestling fan, because it wasn't a match. It was a filler for the pay-per-view, which did its job. You know what I mean? And because they led the storyline, you saw what was happening. They did flashbacks. I mean, hell, for Christ's sakes, the man had a damn turkey leg come to his hand like normal. So, listen, I'm indifferent on the Viking prophets, but I did love, and why I have my red cups is I'm here for the smoke. So there it is.
Shout out to the Thor reference, BT-Dub. I just wanted to let you know that that didn't go unnoticed. So props to you for that one. But I mean, if they would have had a traditional wrestling match, would anybody have cared? Nobody would have gave two shits.
Blind tag, because there's a wrestling fan that told me that the Viking Raiders, the War Raiders from ROW, or Ring of Honor, was this great, phenomenal tag team. And I feel sorry because I don't see that. And then there's guys that you may love that can professional wrestle, that can be really great. Everybody doesn't need to come to the WWE, right? And I get that's the pinnacle. In my opinion, anyway, that's the pinnacle of any guy. Maybe not now, okay? Maybe not now. But 20, 30, 40 years ago, okay, WWE was the tip of the iceberg. That's what it was, okay? And so I thought, but some guys can't go there because you should know your audience, right? Knowing your audience is knowing Vince McMahon, right? He's not going to take these guys, these chubby, and I know he's done it a few, but the percentage is like, you know, Trump liking blacks. It's not a lot. It's not a lot. It's not going to happen, all right? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Back to you.
Fair enough. I still think WWE is the pinnacle because everybody that gets in this business, their dream and goal is the main event, WrestleMania. So I think it's still the pinnacle. But I think that this whole Street Profits, Viking Raiders thing, I think it's been most beneficial to the Viking Raiders because it has allowed them to show a little bit of their personality. And they do have a little bit of personality. In the ring, they're two big guys that are super athletic. And the thing is, we don't know if they're getting over or not. We'll get to that a little bit later, right? when we talk about the whole Paul Heyman thing. Right. We'll get to that. But yeah, we don't know. But yeah, if they would have just had a traditional wrestling match, I wouldn't have cared. That would have been a spoke break match. But this thing kept me interested. It kept me captivated. It was entertaining. And there were ninjas, Mike. They fought ninjas, man. They had ninjas.
They're not supposed to beat ninjas. Okay. They're not.
But they beat ninjas because they're bad mofos. They're bad melon farmers.
Excuse me, mama. I get it. I get it. Can we please move on to what should have been the biggest pop of the night but was not? I'm going to say it.
Go ahead.
Pose for him, Bobby. Show him the body. Nobody's poses like you, Bobby. No one looks like you, Bobby. This man starts off this match before the match with a move that no one has ever used to win a title. Not even Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, a major title. Let me just say that, okay? So I love the finger for a leg lock. I mean, I'm sorry, wrong move. Full Nelson, excuse me, if you will. Brain fart. But come on, man. Like, this match was good. And I'm just mad at the outcome, to be honest. Let's keep it real. Because when you hear the stuff with Paul Heyman that happened, and we're, again, talk about that, and both these guys are Heyman guys, is what we're reading. Right? And what's wrong with giving Bobby the belt? As we do a show, Belt Kings right up against champions, okay? And we talk about champions, and I look and we study these things. A lot of your favorite champions didn't have the belts for 46, 56, 74 days, right? And I'm not saying take it off necessarily of Drew McIntyre. I'm a Drew guy, okay? But if you ever want to get Bobby over, I think he's what do you think? Because I love the match, but my opinion of what I wanted is clouding right now my opinion to you guys out here that's listening right now. I'm just being honest because I love the match. I thought it was a great match. I love how it started. I love all of it. I love everything but the god darn finish. And I said, if she comes out there, he loses. And she came out there, so he loses. It doesn't take anything away. It gets to probably finish that off how he walks off and leave her. We know that's coming. I get it. But damn. I wanted Bobby Lashley to win that title. And yes, I'd have heard all you, well, he only won the title because it's Black Lives Matters. I don't care. I wanted him to have that belt.
So first off, growing up as a skinny kid, I was putting quite a few full Nelsons in my day. Let me let you guys know that move is mad effective. Absolutely. It works.
It works.
Yeah, it hurts. Thank you. I love you too. But I agree with you. Everything you said, I agree 10,000%. And so what? He only won the belt because Black Lives Matter. Booker T only won the belt in WCW because there was a racial discrimination lawsuit. It don't matter how it happens. Just Pretty make it strong. Happen.
Learning stuff out here. Show for the intelligent wrestling fan. Rewind that. I don't think they heard you. Why Booker T win that title?
Booker T won that title because WCW was fighting a racial discrimination lawsuit at the time. If you recall, he was a mid-carder. And then all of a sudden, he's in the main event. And we no hate, no disrespect to Book at all, man. I love me some Book. For real, for real.
Can you
but
get it,
it is what it is. I can't sucker.
Do it. Sucker!
Yeah, I can't either. Yeah. But no, that, I mean, so what? So this match, I love the match. I was going to be... I'm not going to say I was going to be disappointed in the outcome either way,
no,
but because I'm really enjoying Drew as champion. I think that the title fits him well, and I don't think that it was time to take the belt off of him, but I was still like you. I was pissed off by the finish, too. I wanted Bobby to win for obvious reasons. So maybe don't book the match. You know what I mean? Maybe it wasn't time for this match yet. But you know what I mean? So what's going to happen now? Did you just heat Lashley up so McIntyre would have a credible opponent, and then you're going to push him right back down the card? Is that what's going
to
happen?
Well, hopefully it doesn't go back to what wrestling had used to be but hasn't been lately but tried to be back lately. And I oppose that to straighten that line to tell you how maybe we'll see it again. Just history tells us we won't. You know what I mean? So, you know, we hope they're changing things. We don't know because, again, what's happening and what we know backstage. And why some of the placement of this pay-per-view and it being pre-recorded, you know, placements were kind of off a little bit. Also, on the night of this match, we do get the Universal title between Braun Strowman and The Miz and Morrison, which to me was hot-shotted here very quickly off of what was going on. Entertaining, though, okay, because The Miz is The Miz. Morrison, yeah, I liked when they change it before the match starts and they say it was not going to be for, you know, if y'all got to share it, whoever pins them is the champion. And he goes, oh, I can totally see you being a champion. He gives him his look. It's things like that I think are great. Like when Sasha Banks got the title thrown to her earlier tonight by being like, here, hold this belt for me. The look she gave her, those are little Easter eggs to what's supposed to be to come. And it could mean that Morgan has to break up. It's just, you know, maybe not now. They're just a new version of DX. That music video was amazing. And that was the best part of the match was the music video. As my man said, you know, shout out to Scotty Diggs. Hey, that thing slapping, he said. I quite didn't know what that means. That's a younger word, but I quite understood that it meant that it was hot to him, right? So it was slapping, all right? So as the kids say, I don't know if I can say that again. It was slapping. I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's your age group, not mine. I should say it was fire, right? It was hot, you know what I mean? And it was funny. But the match, I mean, it's Braun Strowman. You built this monster up to beat Brock Lesnar, so who are we supposed to think that can beat him? Other than Bray Wyatt, and the pandemic has things in a chokehold right now. But so that match, I take it for what it was worth as well. What else we had after that, before that or whatever?
So after that, I do have to give a shout out to Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. I thought this was a really entertaining match. And I've been enjoying this feud. Now, we went on these airwaves, and you talked about Jeff Hardy starting on the pre-show for the last pay-per-view. And I said, well, let's see it play out. Let's see what happens. Do you feel differently about the direction that they're going with? You don't feel differently.
Not at
all. I'm just going to stop talking then. There's no need for me to even finish my
statement. If you have an audience, speak to your audience. I personally thought this is the worst thing of the night.
Really?
I did. I thought, and this is why. This is no disrespect to the guys at all, whatsoever. I am not thinking I don't like the wrestling fan. Okay? Again, this is me. You're entitled to your opinion. This is where I stand on my perspective. I don't like the fan. This has always been my objective since I started doing radio, okay, is to clear your mind of having a loyalty, right? To enjoy it at its purest of what it's supposed to be. That's my thing when it comes to the stupid battle over phones, over gaming systems. I don't care. Whoever gives me the best product is the best person I'm going to go spend my money with. That's how I am. I don't have a loyalty to Sony. I don't have a loyalty to Apple. I you know, that's who I prefer. Apple, I prefer Xbox, but I have them all. You know what I mean? I don't have a loyalty. Give me the best product. And in wrestling purists is at its form of, I don't like the fan that says, or rips them for using a storyline of him being an alcoholic. That's wrestling. Wrestling has always used realism to be portrayed out in the ring. That's what makes it great. Any wrestler will tell you that they want a real problem brought to real life because that brings them real heat. Okay? So I'm okay with that. It's just, where do you go? I get the pre-show match. I've made fun of it being a pre-show match. But now he loses to Sheamus, and I'm a Sheamus guy. Does that mean Sheamus is next against Drew McIntyre? Like, what does that exactly mean, Chris?
I'm here for that because they would beat the holy hell out of each other. I'd love to see a Sheamus-Drew McIntyre program. But
then what about Jeff Hardy? So then what about let it play out? Okay, so like I said, that was a low point for me in the night. Okay, but what was a high point for me in the night was the six women.
Yeah, that is a high point.
Okay. Okay. Now that's a great high point. No, you're the one gonna get in trouble, not I. Okay. Because hey, we want some Dos Bailey. Okay. And Sasha Banks.
Okay. Chef's kiss.
And the Iconics, who say what you will, they have everything about them great in wrestling, maybe not the in-ring. Is what it is. It's why I think Mella is money, although Mella can't really go in the squared circle. Mm-hmm. They just have these things about them that is great, okay? And shout out again to, you know, find out what's probably actually going on with, got a little feedback, going on with Alexa Bliss. And that is, maybe the injuries that has taken over, and excuse me for the technical difficulties, guys, with the injuries. So, like, Nikki Cross is taking a lot of the wrestling in the matches for her in this. I actually thought the match was good from everything about it, from the coming in the ring, the end of the match, just watching these girls do their thing was amazing to me. I'm here for Bayley and Sasha. I'm here for Bayley and Sasha. They continue. I don't want them to continue. I want them to go ahead and start writing this wall to this rivalry between these girls, but I'm okay with the slow build. Okay, I'm okay with that. I think wrestling is great with slow builds. I think these girls, I love it. I love everything about this match, except for, again, the end. And here's why. Someone pointed this out yesterday is normally when someone does the finishing move on the top rope, they're the ones that get picked up and thrown out the ring. So the person who got the match finished on would get the pinfall. And it didn't happen that way. So I was a little, you know, scared by that much. But besides that, I thought that was pretty good. Your thoughts about that match?
No, I agree. And I like the ending because it's something different. We always, for the last 20 years, we've been begging wrestling to do something different. And then when they do something different, we still bitch about it. Now, I mean, granted, everything doesn't work, but obviously we got to try some new things. But yeah, I love this match. I love the Bayley and Sasha thing. And that's another critique that they have about, that people have about WWE on the internet. They said that they can't do long-term storylines, which there's some validity to that.
Absolutely.
But they've done this storyline very well. And
it's been going for a while. And it's been going on for a while. These girls have been at it almost a year now at this, you know, competitive respect thing, right? Mm-hmm. Best friend competitive respect thing. Another title that was on the line was in the pre-show, though, which gave us Apollo. versus Andrade in the corner with Selena Vega and Angel Garcia. Decent match. I thought it was pretty good match, pre-show match. I thought it was pre-show worthy, to be honest. I was okay with that. I think a match like this where that fit in the card with Kevin Owens at ringside, I thought fit in the card pretty well. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good match as well. I don't think we and then we had the women's match between Asuka and Nia Jax, which I also thought was great. For what it's worth, okay? Say what you want to say about Nia Jax, okay? They put a good match on yesterday, hard-hitting Asuka, proving that she's Asuka, okay? And still being that machine, when she wants to go, she can go. And I use the word machine because I think last week's show also said comparisons to Samoa Joe and her, okay, as far as what they can do. So I'm here for that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that the only other Nia Jax match that I enjoyed more was her versus Ronda Rousey. I thought that was a really good match. But yeah, this was a great match. So shout out to Asuka. And shout out to Nia because it takes two to tango.
Overall grade for this pay-per-view, Chris?
I'm going to go 4 out of 5 Sting United States Championships. That's where I'm going with this. I really enjoyed this show from top to bottom. There wasn't a bad match on the card. I was entertained by everything. The greatest wrestling match of all time delivered. And Mike, They had ninjas. They had ninjas, Mike. Ninjas.
But they own ninjas, though. That would be even greater. I gotta still say that. Ninjas on ninjas. I'm gonna give this 4 out of 5 rated R superstar spinner championship belts. All right, because it was that good between these two. For what they tried to put on, the trolling that they put on for, what they still tried to live up to by selling it, two of the greatest to ever do it, doing it and doing it well. Shout out to LL Cool J for that reference. And listen, I'm sorry, 4 out of 5. That's just that led it for me, and I'm going to let it sit right there and let you stick with you. But like we always say, comment below. Let us know what you thought about it as well. A little side note, it is this thing that has hovered over this pay-per-view a little bit there, Chris, and that would be this situation, if you will. Not even situation, because it's been a determining factor that Paul Heyman is out as lead booker of Monday Night Raw. And taking with him is a couple of his ideas. And now we're hearing other words out there now. You know, I'm not normally a speculation guy. I've always patted myself on not being a speculation guy via the dirt sheets, okay? But there's been proof. This has been, you know, Sports Illustrated, okay? Those are credible sources to me. More than say your typical Metzger and, you know, other guys. That's just me. Came out. So let the people know what's actually happened for those who don't know with Paul Heyman and what we're actually talking about, Chris, please.
So Paul Heyman this week, and WWE actually put out a statement via Twitter saying that they had relieved Paul Heyman of his duties as the head of Raw. So kind of a little bit of the backstage scuttlebutt, we're hearing that, he's out. And I mean, this is the thing. As soon as he was put in place of that, in that position, we knew he was on the clock anyway. That's just kind of how this works. Like,
right. You
know, everybody gets fired at some point in time by Vince McMahon. The only reason Hunter hasn't been fired yet, he probably wanted to fire Hunter like 50 times.
He was demoted.
Yeah. He's been demoted, allegedly. But that's what this is. The only reason he ain't been fired.
Different title, correct.
But the only reason he ain't been fired is because he's family. He can't fire family. But, I mean, we knew going into this. Plus, dirty little secret, Vince doesn't. So it was only a matter of time. Plus, if the ratings, because that's what we're saying. That's what they're saying.
It's the ratings, right?
Is that this happened? Paul Heyman was relieved of his duties because of the sagging ratings. Which I don't know if I buy that because of everything that's going on right now. All ratings are down or going to decline across the board. So they're saying that was the issue. And another issue that I heard, which doesn't really make sense to me, is that some of the scuttlebutt is that some of the people that he was trying to book, Vince didn't know whether or not they were over. He didn't think they were getting over, which frankly, that sounds like some Meltzer bullshit, because that doesn't make sense to me. Because how in the bloody hell could you possibly know if they're getting over because without a live studio audience? You don't know who's getting over. So initially they say that it was supposed to be a long-term plan for Paul to rebuild Raw and to make some new stars. But because of the sagging ratings, because Vince didn't know whether or not the guys were getting over and the gals were getting over, he made a decision to relieve him of his duties. Now, taking over for him is now Uncle Bruce Pritchard. So he's going to be the lead with SmackDown and Raw, and they're combining the writing teams of both shows, and they're going to be doing both shows, which that just sounds like a big cluster. And as much as I love Uncle Bruce, he's a hell of a storyteller. He's basically a Vince McMahon parent. So he's going to do what makes Vince happy. Mike, I'm a little disappointed with this news. I think Raw's been really good under Paul Heyman. Obviously, he only had so much influence, but his fingerprints were all over this thing. And I mean, they were pushing new guys, and it takes time to get new stars over. It takes time, y'all. He was pushing new guys, and the shows were coherent, and there were storylines that were coherent. And you couldn't always say that about Raw in the past. Raw tends to be a little schizophrenic from time to time. So I'm disappointed with this news, and I guess we'll just see what happens, right?
I have been dubbed as a Paul Heyman hater, and I've always told people that was wrong. I just will always still state the same thing I've always stated, that I didn't like ECW at its core of what people liked about ECW, because it's just I didn't like the wrestling of ECW necessarily. The great wrestling stood out versus the ones that wasn't so great to me. But I've never doubted Paul's mind. I've always thought Paul Heyman is awesome in what he does, point blank, period. He has his posts. Personally, in my opinion, on what's actually going on. It's like with music. You have certain artists that are older artists that can translate very well. Chris Brown, right? He seems to move with the time, where Usher hits and misses, right? So with Paul Heyman, he's always knocking him out the park because he's listening to what's going on, and he's a true wrestler at the same time, and a true visionary of wrestling also at the same time. Everything Paul was doing to me was working. Every single thing. We've talked about this on the show. You talked about that with your friends on Pod is War and so forth. Wrestling on Raw, from a wrestling fan's perspective of our elk, was very enjoyable. And you're right. How can you see who's getting over and who's getting not getting over when there's no live crowd? You have social media. Social media, although no one watches live television anymore, especially right now, without crowds. So outside of the Last Dance, everybody's numbers are down, right? Mm-hmm. So they watch wrestling. How do they watch wrestling? You wake up, you pass out. So the network, I don't have to really get to it right away. I can start it an hour late and be perfectly fine. So you're getting your information picks and pieces, okay? But overall, Raw, Angel Garza, people liked Ricochet, and people respect Ricochet, okay? Build them properly. What's going on with Bobby Lashley and MVP, breaking up that mess with him and Lana and things like that. I believe, and most fans believe, that Paul was doing a great job. And I also said this before, Vince has got to let it go. Unless Vince is actually, what's that word from our one of the greatest mothers of all time in television, Claire Huxtable? I brought you in this world, I take you out. So is Vince trying to take out his own product? Because if that's what he's trying to do, if self-destruction, and he's headed for self-destruction, is what he wants, then that's what he's ultimately going to end up getting when he keeps making moves like this that goes against the grain of what professional wrestling is. Yes, you can always have a squirrel gets a nut. Hell, there's plenty of fish now, isn't there? Back in my day, you had to earn yours. Now you just go a little app and get it anytime you want to, no matter how you look. Big or small, fat or white. It don't matter. You're going to get it ate all right. So there it is. With the Paul Heyman situation, I just think it's a sad moment. And I'm not saying SmackDown hasn't flourished also, but SmackDown and Raw are two different programs, Chris.
SmackDown hasn't flourished, but I do have to take contention with something that you said. You called Claire.
Well, I like what's going on with the Intercontinental Championship division, everything like that. And I know Paul Heyman, the rumors are of Heyman leaving because him and AJ didn't get along because of the stuff with the release of Gallows and him like that. Again, those are things until I hear concrete evidence from one of them is confirming that. That's just grain of salt for me.
Okay, but real quick, I do take contention. You said that Claire Huxtable was one of the greatest of all time.
The greatest mother of all time on television. I apologize. No, of all time!
Thank you. That's what I was waiting for. Thank you. That's what I wanted. I was about to do it, but you did it better. But yeah, man, so this is, I don't know what's happening here, and I do know what's happening, but I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, this is just Vince. The irony of this whole situation is the one melon farmer that probably needs to be fired is the one melon farmer that cannot be fired. That's what's going on here. And I mean, we've talked about it on these airwaves, and I don't say this making light of the situation. I'm not trying to make fun of him. I'm not picking. I'm not poking. I'm not prodding. I'm not saying this trying to be funny. I say this in all sincerity. He's not there. There's some mental stuff going on with Vince, and you can see it when he comes out. This is the reason why you don't see Vince on TV all like that. Look in his eyes. Eyes don't lie.
The eyes don't lie. Look, Michael Jordan with the Jondras. He drinks a lot, right? You saw The Last Dance, right? But no, like you say, I mean, yes, the food fight was okay. It was entertaining. But we're grown men. The bar fight came off a lot better. It was the same exact action, but done more maturely, more what these grown men would do as opposed to a food fight. Yeah, funny. And that's the Vince humor that we still live with today, that today ain't working, Vince. Don't you see the world is changing? You have to change. You had a chance to go ahead and not just say, oh, Kofi Kingston's the first black champion of all time, but hey, let's just throw Bobby Lashley and just throw it in there on a pay-per-view without a crowd who can't give the reaction. Your storyline is the reaction. What you give us is what we're going with. So he wins that title and Drew McIntyre and him have a war that built the superstar, that built you another champion, that quietly gave you a title of somebody else, and it changed the perception of what's going on in the company. A lot of things could have been going here that I think I just hope continue as a wrestling fan and as a WWE fan continue to pan out for the better, Chris. But before we got out of here, right? Before we got out of here, I had a little fun over the weekend and gave out my 10 favorite wrestlers of all time list. Now, hear me out, people. They're not your list. You don't have to like them. I may not like yours. Hence, your favorite list. Now, we can have a debate when you say Mount Rushmore's four? That's a debate on who you put there. That's the greatest. And you have to put in perspective again, what makes you the greatest professional wrestler? In my opinion, it's mic skills, in-ring ability, storyline, history, and merchandise sales. Where are you fucking over? Okay? If you're not those five things, you can't be on that list. And so when it comes to that five things, even my favorite and on who I think is the best isn't the best because they didn't do all five things. So when I say my favorites list, it's my favorite. It's what I connected with. It's what I love. And I came up with this because I was watching NXT, and I was talking to my children, and I was talking with Mo_EdenBeltKing, extraordinary himself, and I was asking for this week's show, which tomorrow airs tomorrow, which is going to be the Women's Championship from the 90s era. You know, Miss Jackie, Trish Stratus, those girls, that particular title. And I was like, well, what's your favorite, and who's your favorite? And he couldn't give me one. And it made me think, like, damn, who is my favorite wrestlers of all time? And so that made me give you this list. Again, you heard my... There it is. Number one, HBK. Number two, 1AB, Bret the Hitman Hart. Number three, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Number four, the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Number five, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, The Rock. Number six, I have the shirt on, The Ultimate Warrior. Number seven, Eddie Guerrero. Number eight, Triple H. Number nine, The Great Muda. And number 10 is where I cheat, right? And I give you Barry Windham, Beautiful Bob Eaton, and CM Punk, all right? Because I don't think my oldness can separate them from that being a tie there. And again, I set my favorite list because I can relate to all these guys. And I thought it was very cool how people responded and put up the list and how different but yet the same your list can be. And I just love that kind of comment. Nothing to argue about. It's your list. Why are they your favorite? Who are their favorite? Why are they there, right? Like, Dusty Rhodes is what got me into wrestling. You know what I mean? And then, like, you have, like, Eddie Guerrero was just this all things that what you can think wrestling could be to me, right? He's this little guy that can really, really, really go on the ring. He can talk. He's good looking. He can do it all, right? And it was just amazing for me. And then it was the Macho Man, which is this cockiness that Macho Man had that to me no one has ever cared, you know, carried so much more. And then it was the Great Muda that introduced me to an international style of wrestling that I've never seen before. Face painted, and he's taking on Dusty Rhodes. He's taking on Ric Flair. He's taking on Hulk Hogan. You know what I'm saying? He got green mist coming out of his mouth. And it was people like Bobby Eaton, who I couldn't stand in the Midnight Express. But I can recognize how great he was at what he was doing. And that's why this is, you know, not just a little piece of me to you. Chris, you got a top 10 favorite wrestling list of all time?
Oh, I don't, man. Let me see if I can get to 10 just off the top of my head in no particular order. I would go Rock, Shawn Mike, Booker T, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho, Stone Cold, Rey Mysterio, Ric Flair. Guy, you know, you got to have Ric in there somewhere. That's eight. So I need two more slots. Two more slots. Two more slots. I would go.
As you see, you have an attitude error kind of top 10 there.
No, I'm trying to dig back deeper. I'm trying to dig a little deeper. Favorite. No, I'm digging. I'm going. Maybe Ron Simmons, mm-hmm. and probably Scott Steiner.
I'm saying, go ahead and just say Bad News Brown. It's okay.
I'll say Scott Steiner just off the top of my head.
Shout out to King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter says, give him Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker, Macho Man, Ric Flair, Edge, Eddie Guerrero, CM Punk. My man Grandbody P. Undertaker, Rock, Booker T, Naomi, Shinsuke Nakamura, mm-hmm. Ultimate Warrior, Ric Flair, Kane, Austin Batista, Mia Yim. Shout out to my man Rob, Undertaker, Rock, Edge, Bret Hart, Macho Man, Kofi, Chris Jericho, Booker T, Goldberg, DDP. My man Scott Diggity, The Rock, Stone Cold, Chris Jericho, CM Punk, Triple H, Billy Kidman, Sting, Edge, Luchasaurus, and Big E Langston. Yeah, I paused and laughed at that myself, and he explained it to me why. He said, for a new generation, and he likes it. He likes big guys that can move like that. your list. That's fair. I love it. Right? Let me have my man, Big Rod, the big guy, in the Belt Kings, Bret Hart, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, Brock Lesnar, Ultimo Dragon, The Rock, Stone Cold, Ric Flair, RVD, who was on the outside of my top 10 list, by the way.
I forgot about RVD. Chris Benoit.
And you can interchangeable is from 8 and 10 in him as well. Yeah, RVD is undeniable.
RVD.
He's what I'm gonna
take out. Yeah.
He's what I love most about ECW. He's why I said that's what made me finally stop and stare and look and become a fan. Not that I didn't watch it, but become a fan. When I saw RVD on the screen for the first time, I said, yo, this. Mm-hmm. And from there, I became an ECW fan of his matches with him and Taz and him and Sabu, things like that. My man, Andre Miller, Goldberg, Ultimate Warrior, Sting, Chris Benoit, Booker T, Bret Hart, Undertaker, Rock, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and Ahmed Johnson. And listen, comment below, let us know. A little fun time right there. Like, I just love lists of your favorites, you know what I mean? And out of that, my man, and that's who the here it is right here. Mr. Peter Flaherty says his personal favorite, Jake the Snake Roberts, Ted DiBiase, Honky Tonk Man, Macho Man, Roddy Piper, Mr. Perfect, Ravishing Rick Rude, Rick the Model Mantell, Val Venus, and Papa Shango. And I just go, it's a lot of mega on that list, but hey, you're entitled to that. And but he also posed the question that he thought the Attitude Era was the worst era in professional wrestling. And you comment below, let us know. We'll probably bring that back to the forefront next week. Give us something to go ahead and add to the program. Was the Attitude Era the most dangerous era in professional wrestling, meaning it ruined wrestling? And just to leave you a little bit of a sneak preview, I would agree with Mr. Peter Flaherty. Chris, your thoughts?
I agree as well. I think that it was the greatest time in professional wrestling, but the damage that it's done in its wake has ruined the business.
Mm. And with that, we will see you guys next week. Listen, where can they find you at, Mr. CP Platt?
And you guys can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt. You can find me all over thechairshot.com. Pod is War every Thursday. Myself, Andrew Belaz, and Commissioner PC Tunney. Three-man weave, myself, PC Tunney, and Ray Cash. I also made a run-in this week on Bandwagon Nerds. They had a situation they were talking about with HBO Max removing Gone with the Wind from their thing. That's their way of fighting social injustice. And it was kind of Ask a Black Dude segment, so I was on there.
Let me not get into the how I feel about the HBO Max, and not just that, just overall about HBO Max. I'm completely disappointed in it. I'm giving it a second month, although I canceled it and reordered it back the same weekend. HBO Max, I'm not happy with you right now. I am not HBO Max and Climax, and I just tell you that much. But I damn sure Disney Plus and Thrust, and I still Netflix and chill. But damn it, where can I HBO Max and Climax? Because right now, your Max and ain't Climax and shit. Okay, with that being said, you already know where you can find me in all these podcasts as well below, guys. Listen, we'll be back next week. Listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me, and don't love God, and don't know that Charlotte Flair is the greatest professional women's wrestler of all time. We out of here, y'all. Fingers.
Yeah. Perfect Plex Radio. We about to go live on them. Mike Knox, that's with three X's because he's hardcore. Are y'all ready? I go by the name Fred Nux. We about to give y'all something special. You ready?